MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, March 12, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber is supporting local news coverage in communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. A Haverhill man has been charged with a weekend murder. There will be a Transportation Department hearing this week in Beverly concerning two bridges and details on possible criminal justice reforms being discussed at the Statehouse.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, one MIAA North Shore basketball team is in action today. That and a lot more in sports just ahead. Rick?
Okay, thanks, Bill. Sunny, low 50s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 1:35 p.m. A Haverhill man has been arrested and charged with the murder of another Haverhill man. Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker's office has released information that 22-year-old Derek Moncion is being charged with shooting and killing 21-year-old Yebi Ortiz Ruiz in the early morning hours on Sunday. The victim was discovered by police in North Andover. Moncion is expected to be arraigned in Lawrence District Court Tuesday morning. The City of Newburyport is working to develop a school department budget for the upcoming fiscal year. This is Mayor Sean Reardon.
So now we heard from each of the schools and what they're looking for this year. Again, I would say a pretty modest budget for the schools this year as far as what that aspirational budget looks like. We still got some work to do because their level services budget, which is just like doing what we did this year with all the contracts, increases for staff and then transportation, because we're out for a transportation bid right now, and special ed costs. That's a really high. It's about 6% increase over last year, which is really unheard of. It's not usually that high. So I know we've got some weeks left here and some work to do, but a really good presentations on the budget by Superintendent Gallagher and his leadership team.
In other Newburyport news, the City Council is also working on the plan for the new youth center. Again, Mayor Reardon.
The Port Rec at 59 Low Street, our recreation center that we're trying to build. We had a really important meeting last week, which was great. Right now, all these discussions are taking place in the Community Services Subcommittee of the City Council. So they had their first meeting March 4th. A lot of great questions asked. Again, we've put a plan together. We're at 100% development design, so there's still a lot more work to do. But there's lots of opportunities to hear this feedback from council and from the community and make tweaks. So, again, luckily we're working with a great partner in EGA Architects. So we're having those conversations here. So their next meeting will be March 18th. And I know that's tough for you that follow school committee. It's the same night as the school committee meeting, but we'll have another meeting March 18th, and that meeting will focus around, it'll be more around the engineering and the finances for it. So Ethan Manning will be a big part of that conversation. So mark that on your calendar. Come with your questions.
Mayor Reardon was speaking on his weekly Mayor's Corner podcast. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation will hold a public meeting on Thursday to update the public on the plans to replace the Kernwood and Hall Whitaker bridges in Beverly. Paul Layton reports in today's Salem News that the meeting will take place this Thursday from 6:30 to 8 at the Beverly Middle School Auditorium. The town of Nahant has a new contract with its police officers. The Daily Item reports that the contract contains a 2% salary increase for the first year, a 2.5% increase the second year, and another 2.5% increase the third year. State Senator Brendan Crichton is the chair of the new Senate Committee on Juvenile and Emerging Adult Justice.
Trying to take a look at a wide range of topics related to our young people and how they interact with the criminal justice system. I think one of the bills that's gotten a lot of press lately, though I should say this committee does not have any bills before it. It's, most of these bills that deal with the subject matter are before the Joint Committee on Judiciary, which has House and Senate members. But for the purposes of our committee, it's to take a deep dive into some of these subject matters and, have hearings, site visits, and really flush out some of these issues.
Crichton tells MSO News that the committee is gathering a wide range of information and is looking at the Raise the Age bill.
But one bill that has been, a topic of conversation certainly has been the Raise the Age bill. So back in 2013, the legislature raised the age of criminal majority to up until your 18th birthday. So 17-year-olds from age, when you turn 17 up to your 18 prior to that were charged in the adult system and would go to your traditional correctional facility with adults rather than the DYS system. We changed that back in 2013, and the results over the last 10 years have been really promising. I think we've had significant reductions in recidivism among those that go to a DYS facility rather than going to prison. Obviously, there's a ton of brain science out there about our brains not fully, at least the risk-taking portions of our brains, not being fully developed until the age of 24 or 25. So, someone at the age of 18, oftentimes, these kids are still, in high school, make a mistake, get caught up in the adult system, adult criminal justice system, and, it's difficult sometimes to get out of that cycle there. And we think the DYS facilities for, kids age 18 going up until their 21st birthday would be better suited in DYS.
That's State Senator Brendan Crichton. And the City of Salem's Scholarship and Education Committee has released the scholarship application form for students graduating from Salem High School, Salem Academy Charter School, Essex North Shore and Agricultural and Technical School, or other area high schools, and entering college or university in the fall. We have details and links available below on today's post. Sports Next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Trailblazers in Portland last night, 121-99. The Celtics are right back at it tonight in Utah against the Jazz. The Bruins lost to the Blues last night at the Garden, 5-1. They'll play in Montreal next on Thursday night. The St. Mary's girls basketball team is still alive in the MIAA D3 tournament. Today at 5, they'll take on Foxborough at UMass Boston. St. Mary's is a young team this year, and although they have won 3 straight titles, Foxborough is very tough themselves. They're the top-seeded team in the tournament, and they, too, are defending state champions in Division II. This is St. Mary's coach, Jeff Newhall.
You know, they're a tremendous team. They have college players all over the place. But this is what you expect at this time of the year. I mean, there's 4 teams left. I think there's 20 teams left in the whole state. And everybody's good. We're good. They're really good. They're a defending state champ just like we are. They were in Division II. They have their whole starting lineup back. I think in the Herald and the Globe, they've been number one pretty much the whole year. So it's a great challenge. Great challenge. We're going to UMass Boston, which way back when used to be where all the high school games were, right? The North-South finals were there, East and Mass finals. So it's going to be a great environment. We're going up against probably the best team in the state, but we're looking forward to it. We've been playing very well, and we're just happy to have practice, keep practicing, and hopefully keep playing.
St. Mary's girls basketball coach and athletic director Jeff Newhall. We'll have a report on this game later tonight here on the website. Sunday is state championship day and night for high school hockey at the TD Garden. On the boys' side representing the North Shore, it's St. John's Prep in Marblehead. And on the girls' side, it's the St. Mary's girls hockey team in D1. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra, where we feature some extended audio clips with some North Shore newsmakers. Today, we're featuring another segment with the Beverly City Council and the Beverly School Committee and their joint meeting last week, where they were able to question State Representative Jerry Parasella and State Senator Joan Lovely to get updates from the state and the state perspective for the city of Beverly. So let's listen in again to some more of these questions and answers here on North Shore Today Extra.
Councilor Sweeney.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you both, Senator Lovely and Representative Parasella, for taking the time to be with us. I'll probably make some general comments, and then maybe if you guys would like to respond to those. I know, Senator Lovely, you noted the difficult financial situation that the state's in currently and likely will be in next fiscal year, which I certainly appreciate as a former budget analyst. For the governor's budget proposal, there's three streams of funding, and really two of those three in particular that I have my eye on from the local level, which is the proposed level of unrestricted general government aid, the Chapter 70 funding, which you mentioned with the next year of the Student Opportunity Act being implemented, and then with the millionaire's tax fair share of revenue, the additional money that the governor proposed to essentially supplement Chapter 90, that additional $100 million. And I just want to make sure to advocate for at least maintaining those streams of funding, especially with UGA, but in particular for the supplemental funding from the millionaire's tax that would go towards Chapter 90 equivalent expenses, and then on the Student Opportunity Act, as I'm sure we'll hear a little more of tonight, school expenses are really driving the overall municipal budget increase that we're likely to face as we enter our budget development process in the coming few months. And I know that Beverly is one of many minimum aid districts, so raising the floor of what those minimum aid districts receive as an increase in this coming budget would certainly help us. And then on the additional funding towards Chapter 90, that's one thing that we all talk about frequently on the City Council is the big need we have in Beverly to improve our road and sidewalk infrastructure. So we certainly appreciate the work that you guys have done on behalf of Beverly and getting funding into these programs that goes to support what we're working on locally. And I want to take a moment here to just advocate as you guys get ready for the budget development process to keep an eye on those three streams of funding.
Appreciate that, Councillor. Absolutely. You know, as legislators, we never want to cut UGA on Chapter 70. We want to make sure that our communities are made whole because you're depending on the numbers that come from us to be able to build your own budget. And I attended the kind of the last part of your budget retreat on that Chapter 90 and heard quite a bit on Chapter 90 and how important that is. Because really, most of the roadways are maintained by our local communities, and so you really depend on that money. And as far as the fair share, watching that to see, you know, there's you know, some say we're going to lose all our millionaires out of Massachusetts. I haven't seen that. You know, the projections was $1 billion. It's come in at about $1 billion. And again, transportation is getting $300 million and education at $750 million, but that also includes higher ed. So we do want to make sure that we are funding our local communities that we know you desperately need this money. Education is the biggest part of our budgets. And so we want to make sure. So I really we really appreciate that, and we'll definitely bring that message back to Ways and Means when we meet with our chairs and they're building the budget. So thank you.
Thank you.
One of the, I know you had sent a question about the economic development bill, so maybe kind of goes with what you were just asking about. So it just got filed, so it's not law yet, but I do anticipate us doing something on the economic development bill. And some of the highlights that could help municipalities she's filed for $400 million for MassWorks. I mean, Beverly got that grant recently for the roundabout by the North Shore Music Theater, the Seaport Economic Council. There's $100 million anticipated for that. Beverly's gotten money in the past for that, like by the fishing pier and things like that. Workforce training, President Abel, you were talking about that, like what can we do to spur our economy. There's money for clean tech, which Salem is going to have the huge wind turbine depot over there. So there'll be jobs locally for folks. cultural facilities funds. Beverly's gotten money for that, then Montserrat, College of Art, and Cabot Theater have received funds from that, so that can be helpful. So yeah, and tourism is a part of this as well. Obviously, we think of Salem, but a lot of people come to Beverly for the theater, you know, and that brings a lot of people downtown, whether it's the Cabot or the Larkham or the North Shore Music Theater. And when those places are full, it helps our downtown. So we want to support the arts and the culture economy as well. So those are just some of the highlights of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Mayor Cahill.
Thank you, Madam President, so much. Senator and Representative, to talk about. So sitting here as a member of the school committee and as the mayor, I just want to go back to a couple things that were discussed earlier on the vocational technical school admissions point. I have twice signed letters from the Mass Mayors Association asking for a lottery system to be mandated. I don't know if it needs to be 100%. I personally, from what I understand of things, I think it really should be 100% lottery. Certainly the directors and people involved with those schools don't want to be told that. But I'm glad that Senator Salem and Peabody are saying that loudly and clearly. They are at the mayor's level as well. For so many of our kids who really need access to those programs, they're not really getting a fair shake with the current way of, quote, admitting students. Happy to hear what Salem and Peabody are looking to do cooperatively. We, not sure you know this, but we as a school district have an agreement with Salem High School, and we're sending Beverly students this year for the first time who are enrolled at Beverly High for some courses through their career technical education programming at Salem High because we can't get enough access at the tech. So a lot of people are doing good work. I think the admissions are critical. To the fair share discussion, our schools need so much, and that's legitimate. We need for our kids to, you know, have access to great education. At the same time, there is no doubt that not enough money is going into transportation. We all understand that. So to President Abel's point about, you know, whether the right targeted investments can grow the pie through economic for further economic growth, I think that's a great way to look at things. Certainly as a region, as a greater Boston, Eastern Mass region, our transportation system gets in the way of all of our residents accessing education, accessing health care. It gets in the way of our ability at the local level to support more housing. So the transportation investments we need are massive. They're investments that I don't believe the state can make on its own, but the state needs to really be able to commit big dollars. The federal government needs to commit as well. Because if you think of any major city in America that's got a transit system, subway, a legacy commuter rail where trains in and out from the suburbs, and we've got both, and we've got two of the oldest in the country. No major city in this country is doing it right, because at the federal level, the support hasn't been there for generations. At the same time, every affluent European and Asian country has left us light years behind when it comes to transit. And economically, that's going to come home to roost if we don't collectively make those investments. So they're there. You know, I'm not pointing a finger or saying you got to do something you're not doing, because we're all grappling with it. But, you know, just to have a little bit of our focus on it tonight. To Councillor Sweeney's points about our various local aid accounts, absolutely on that. I will say on the fair share piece that the governor is pointing towards Chapter 90, the additional amount, we already got that money in our accounts. That was not something that needed legislative action, so that additional $484,000 landed in one of the city's accounts about a month and a half ago. So, and you know, I think that's how that piece is meant to go each year. So that's helpful. And so my question, after a couple of thoughts there, is, Senator, you talked about level funding in the budget. So we all know how the budget process works. I'll just say it aloud for people in the audience or at home who don't, right? Governor's proposed budget lands in late January. The House has their opportunity to work through what, you know, how that, how you receive that and what priorities are of the House members as a whole than the Senate does. So the House will be doing it in late April, Senate sometime in May. Typically, I guess always, there's a conference committee of House and Senate members to reconcile all the pieces and then put it back as a package to the two bodies and typically then forward to the governor, right? So when you say level funding, do you mean level funding of what the governor proposed, level funding of last year's final budget? Because my concern is the governor's proposal showed extremely modest increases on both the city and the school sides of the budget. Given the modest nature of them and the scope of our own local budget, they're not going to make much of an impact. Less than that is even harder, but we recognize the way revenues are coming in month after month that we may not get what the governor proposed. We may get a level funding from last year. We may get a cut from last year. So do you, you know, what is your intelligence telling you on that? And what does that level funding, you know, phrase as you heard it today really mean?
I don't have a lot of intel on it because I haven't had my meeting yet. But I will tell you that what the chair of Senate Ways and Means is telling us is level funded to FY24, level funded to this fiscal year. Is that with the billion that we're going to lose off of it or not? I don't, so that would be a cut. He's saying level funded. I can't tell you with any surety what that means. What I will tell you, though, is he's offered, and I'm putting together a meeting with the chair of Ways and Means. I haven't talked about it yet. To come and meet with putting that guest list together now, but it would be for all four communities in the Senate district, the mayors, town manager, chiefs of staff, heads of school committees, presidents of city councils or designees, superintendents. So really a small group, maybe chair of PINCOM or a budget person, in each community as well. I want to put that together and have that meeting so you can ask him those questions, and he's offered. And I said, great. So I've already put an email into his chief of staff, trying to put that together for within the next 4 or 6 weeks. So, okay. So I will circle back with everyone. It's really just in its initial planning stages today, but he's offered, so I'm going to take him up on it and get him here. And you can ask those questions directly, and we'll probably have a little more information in 4 or 6 weeks or so. Okay? Is that okay?
Thanks. Sure.
That should work. Yeah. All right. Good. Because I don't know. I don't know yet. And he's just telling us to be very conservative with how we're publicly speaking about the budget. And here's the message. So I'm staying on message, but let's get him here, and you can ask more questions. Great.
Councilor Houseman.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you, Senator and Representative, for being here with us. This question is really directed, prompted, I guess, by a bill that Representative Parisella has filed, but it really speaks more broadly, so maybe both of you can end up commenting on it. You submitted a bill to study how road repair is done after excavation by utility companies. And ways in which road repair can be done. So I'm sort of interested generally in where what prompted you to file that. But my comment before hearing the answer really is, in Beverly, you know, we talk about Chapter 90 money to help us with our roads, but you know, National Grid right now, and I don't think it's exclusive to Beverly by any means, is going through and probably ripping up our streets far faster than we're being able to repair and replace them with fresh, smooth pavement. Part of that's being done, as you know, because of the cable project to give a new transmission line up to Cape Ann, which we need, which the region needs. And part of it is being done to replace, ironically, to put in new infrastructure for natural gas, ironically, but it's being done in order to prevent leaks because the infrastructure is so old. But all of it brings us back to, once they're done, our roads are in much worse shape not under the current regulations as they're required to repair than when they open them up, because the repairs don't come anywhere close to putting the streets back in the kind of condition they were before they were ripped up. So, general question, what prompted you to do this? And then more broadly, is there any hope that utility companies, and I understand costs might get passed on to the ratepayers, but maybe it'd be taken off their allowed rate raises and come out of their own pockets, for utility companies to do a better job helping cities like Beverly put their streets and keep their streets in a better condition?
Yeah, so, I mean, I used to run a lot more than I do now, but I still get out there and hit the streets. So, you know, certainly having that ground view of seeing what the streets look like, especially after a utility project. And like you said, they do not do a great job of repairing them and putting them into the same condition they were prior to the project. So that's what inspired me to file the bill. So it would be experts from the Mass DOT and the DPU. The DPU oversees the utilities, and DOT has expertise in road construction. And having them work together and create uniform standards on how the road should be repaired after utility work is done. So that's why I filed that bill. It's still floating around. I'd love for that to happen because... like you mentioned, you can see it when you can see like the project, and maybe 2 years later the repairs are crumbling at that particular part where they did the work. So that's what inspired me to do that. And so I think that's something that I would like to see, you know, if there is some uniform standard required of all the utilities and anybody else who digs up the roads, then maybe we won't have that quick disrepair of the roadway system, you know, after they do that work. So that's what inspired me to do that. It's sort of the general question, too. Like there's, like you said, a lot of discussion about Chapter 90. We did do an additional $175 million last year for – it wasn't specifically just Chapter 90, but a lot of different things like small bridge repair, complete streets. That's how Broadway was done with the Complete Streets program. So – I do think and hope that we can supplement Chapter 90 again with some of that fair share money that we're getting. But that's what inspired me to file that bill.
Yeah, thank you.
That is North Shore Today Extra with the Beverly City Council and the Beverly School Committee, a joint meeting from last week with State Representative Jerry Parasella and State Senator Joan Lovely. And this is MSONewsSports.com.